Some questions and answers. Question 1. How can the referee decide what level of punishment to issue when a player commits a foul that is careless, reckless, or using excessive force? Answer 1. If a player commits a careless foul, the referee should warn the player about his misconduct. If a player commits a reckless tackle, the referee should caution the player. If a player commits a tackle using excessive force, the player should be sent off. Question 2. Just exactly what do the words careless, reckless, and using excessive force mean? Answer 2. Firstly, we must not forget that football is a tough combative sport with lots of body contact between players. Gaining possession of the ball should nevertheless be done in a sporting manner. Most challenges for the ball can, and are, committed fairly, if sometimes in a vigorous fashion, and should not always be penalized by the referee. Serious foul play and violent conduct, including spitting, are strictly forbidden, and must be stringently dealt with by the referee. Careless is when a player attempting to challenge for the ball which is in close proximity to an opponent, puts a great deal of honest effort into the challenge, but wildly mistimed it, and in doing so fouls the opponent. This includes when a player challenging for the ball has not exercised proper care, or has misjudged or mistimed a tackle when making his play, or when a player has miscalculated the strength required to challenge fairly, or has overstretched his leg when making the challenge. This type of foul is common, and should be penalized with an award of a direct free kick or penalty, if occurring in the guilty player's own penalty area, and a quiet verbal warning by the referee. A careless tackle does not necessarily warrant a caution, depending on the severity, or the number of persistent offenses committed previously by the perpetrator. A quiet word usually suffices in normal circumstances. The word careless can also mean absent-minded, hasty, heedless, inconsiderate, negligent, regardless, thoughtless, unconcerned, and sloppy. The referee must also learn to differentiate between an act carried out against a youth and a similar act carried out against a senior, more older, player. What is an excessive push on a minor youth player might not even be noticed in a professional match involving senior players, where body contact is more prevalent, stronger, and readily accepted as part of the game. Reckless is when a player makes a challenge in a manner where there is a clear risk of endangering an opponent, but pays no regard to the possible consequences and the safety and/or welfare of his opponent. This includes when a player has made a challenge for the ball and it is done in such a way that it clearly intimidates or distracts an opponent, regardless of any potential danger to that opponent. The challenger himself does not have to make contact with the opponent. Many opponents who are being tackled are adept at riding challenges by jumping up to prevent contact being made. The intimidation alone is enough to warrant the tackling player being penalized. For example, a reckless sliding tackle may be executed with the sole aim to intimidate an opponent or distract him from shooting towards goal. The punishment for a reckless challenge is a direct free kick to the opposing team, or penalty, if occurring inside the perpetrator's own penalty area, and a caution for unsporting behavior, if the reckless challenge was outside the sporting bounds expected in normal play. A strong verbal warning by the referee is also recommended. The word reckless can also mean daredevil, devil-may-care, foolhardy, harebrained, hasty, headlong, heedless, imprudent, inattentive, irresponsible, madcap, mindless, negligent, overventuresome, rash, regardless, thoughtless, and wild. I like the word harebrained. This sums up, for me, what a reckless challenge is all about. The webmaster. Excessive force is when a player makes a challenge, which may be malicious or brutal, and may be designed to hurt or maim an opponent. These are the worst types of tackles to deal with, and is when a player has placed an opponent in considerable danger of being injured by the use of unnecessary force when making a challenge for the ball. If the challenge involves excessive force far outside the bounds expected in normal play, this is a serious foul play slash, and the referee must send the player off and award the direct free kick to the opposing team, or penalty, if occurring in the perpetrator's own penalty area. Winning the ball first is not an excuse for a challenge of this nature to be deemed legal. Players who plead their innocence because they have won the ball just before breaking an opponent's leg in a tackle using excessive force should be strongly, immediately, and properly dealt with by dispatching from the field of play with a red card. Question 3. I was refereeing a match the other day. What happens when a goalkeeper is running to kick the ball out of his hands and he crosses the edge of his penalty area ever so slightly before he kicks the ball out of his hands? Should he be sent off for a deliberate handball, or cautioned, or just penalized by the award of a free kick to his opponents? Answer 3. This is a tricky situation to deal with. Normally, as a referee, you should be positioned on your diagonal somewhere near the halfway line when the goalkeeper eventually kicks the ball out of his hands. It is therefore impossible for the referee to judge such incidents with complete accuracy, and in such cases the referee would need a long periscope to judge whether or not the goalkeeper had slightly stepped over his penalty area line or not, or if the ball is still being held in his hands outside of the penalty area. In higher level games, the assistant referees would make those decisions. If you are near the halfway line, be 100% sure before you penalize a goalkeeper for handball outside of his area. The punishment for a goalkeeper handling the ball outside of his area whilst he is attempting to punt the ball upfield from his hands is a direct free kick to the opposing team. You do not send the goalkeeper off in this instance, unless you are issuing a second caution to the goalkeeper. When watching a game, take a very close look at how goalkeepers actually complete this maneuver. Very often, the goalkeeper actually kicks the ball when both he and the ball have traveled outside of the penalty area. But if you watch very carefully, most goalkeepers actually release the ball from their hands whilst they are still just inside their penalty area. It is only their momentum that takes them and the ball outside of the penalty area, and in nearly all such cases they have not committed an offense. For example, they release the ball up into the air whilst they are just inside of their penalty area. The goalkeeper and the ball then travel outside of the penalty area before the goalkeeper kicks it upfield. The goalkeeper has committed no offense and is allowed to kick the ball outside of his penalty area, because once outside of the penalty area, the goalkeeper becomes another outfield player. It is the moment that he releases the ball that you should be looking for, and not when he kicks it. It is difficult to judge this from a distance, and it would need to be seen from a sideways view to be in the best position to discern if it was an offense or not. If you are unsure, let play carry on. The easiest way to understand this is that a goalkeeper can stand outside of his penalty area, reach inside of his penalty area, and handle the ball. No offense has been committed. It is only when his hands and the ball are outside of the penalty area that it becomes an offense. So it does not matter where his feet are, so long as he does not handle the ball outside of his penalty area. Question 4. If the goalkeeper moves outside of his penalty area to control a ball last touched by the opposing team, is it permissible for the goalkeeper to dribble the ball back into his penalty area and then pick it up? Answer 4. The goalkeeper has not committed any infringements and should be allowed to continue with the game. The goalkeeper is entitled to pick up any ball within his own penalty area, so long as it was not deliberately kicked or thrown directly to him by a colleague taking a throw-in. Note also, the goalkeeper is not allowed to handle the ball a second time after it has been released from his possession and before it has touched another player. When the goalkeeper leaves his penalty area, he is deemed to be just like another outfield player, and as such, he is allowed to play the ball with his feet. Concerning the incident mentioned in the question, an infringement only occurs if the ball was played back to the goalkeeper deliberately by a teammate, and the goalkeeper, who is standing outside of his penalty area, dribbles the ball back into the area and then picks it up with his hands. If this happens, an indirect free kick should be awarded to the attacking team, because the goalkeeper handled the ball after it had been deliberately kicked back to him by a teammate. Question 5. An attacking player and a defending player were chasing a ball near the defender's goal. They were running alongside each other, somewhat shoulder to shoulder, with the attacking player gaining from being half a step behind. The attacking player was able to stretch a leg alongside and around the defending player, who had possession of the ball, and this tackle resulted in the ball ricocheting into the defender's goal and the opponent falling onto the ground. Should the goal be allowed? Answer 5. Technically, a tackle of this nature is only a foul if the player making the tackle makes contact with any part of the opponent before connecting with the ball, see Law 12. It is also a foul if the tackle is made from behind. If during this tackle from the side, the attacking player made contact with the ball without first touching the defending player, then the goal should count as no infringement had occurred. In tackles of this nature, the momentum of the fair challenge on the ball sometimes unbalances the opponent, and it can look as though the opponent was fouled before the ball was touched. If the attacking player made contact with the defender's leg before making contact with the ball, then this is a foul, and a direct free kick should be awarded to the defending team. There may be occasions and instances like this when the referee is not sure what decision to make. Law 5 states, the decisions of the referee regarding facts connected with play are final. So it does not really matter whether the referee gets it right or whether he gets it wrong, so long as the decisions are made honestly. Referees should not worry about honest decisions. All referees will make mistakes. The secret is to learn from them. Anyone who thinks that they are perfect is bound to get disappointed. Those of us who recognize that we are human will learn to accept our mistakes and move forward. Question 6. A goalkeeper comes to the very edge of his penalty area and saves the ball with his chest. When the ball spills away from him, he strikes out and Armand grabs at the ball with his hand and then realizes that his momentum has taken him outside of his penalty area. Should the referee send him off? The rules clearly state that if a keeper handles outside the area, he should not be on the field of play. Answer 6. There is nothing in the laws to specifically pillory a goalkeeper for this offense. The law does say that if a player deliberately handles the ball and denies the opposing team an obvious goal-scoring opportunity, then yes, he should be sent off. As soon as the goalkeeper comes out of his penalty area, he becomes just another outfield player and is subject to the laws the same as they are. The crux of making a decision of this type depends on whether the referee thinks that there was a goal-scoring opportunity or not. The referee makes that decision and nobody else. It is a tough call to make, and referees should not shirk that responsibility. If the referee deems that the action by the goalkeeper prevented an obvious goal-scoring opportunity, then the goalkeeper should be sent off. If it was not an obvious goal-scoring opportunity, then the opposing team should be awarded a direct free kick at the place where the goalkeeper touched the ball with his hand outside of the penalty area. The referee can also consider cautioning the goalkeeper for deliberately handling the ball. Question 7. While the ball is in play, a player standing inside his own penalty area throws an object at an opponent standing outside the penalty area. What action does the referee take? Answer 7. He stops play and sends off the player who threw the object for violent conduct. Play is restarted by a direct free kick to the opponent's team taken from the place where the offense occurred, i.e., where the object struck or would have struck the opponent. Question 8. How can a referee decide whether to give a, just a direct free kick, or b, a direct free kick and a caution when the player pulls an opponent's shirt? Answer 8. When holding actually becomes pulling, it becomes a cautionable offense. If two players are in close contact and one player grabs the other player's shirt, it is just a free kick. But if one of the players is breaking away with the ball and is pulled back, this is unsporting behavior for which the perpetrator must be cautioned. From Philip Don, during seminar with the Select Referees in England 2001. Question 9. From Weston-super-Mare England referee colleague. I had awarded a direct free kick to the away team on the edge of the penalty area. I thought I did everything right, getting the wall back 10 yards, 9.15 and then running backwards to a spot level ish to the penalty mark, so as to watch encroachment and the goal line in the unlikely event of an accurate shot. As the player ran up to take the kick, about a step away from the ball, one of the players in or around the wall shouted, "Miss it, you ugly person." The ball sailed harmlessly over the bar, and he ran over to defuse the situation. The thing is, as I said to them, if I knew who said it, they'd have been off, but because I didn't, I couldn't take any action. Was I right in this decision? My only thought was, could I have given an IFK around where the voice came from for unsporting behavior, even without issuing any cards? Answer 9. The fact that you could not identify the individual in the wall who said, "Miss it, you ugly person," as the free kick was being taken, means that you cannot take disciplinary action against that individual, whoever he may have been. You were correct in castigating the defending team. Not being able to identify the perpetrator is just bad luck on the referee's part. Referees will learn from such incidents, and next time will keep a closer eye on proceedings. It is not very often that an incident of this nature will occur, but it does happen from time to time. During a free kick, the ball does not come into play until it had been touched and moves forward, Law 13. In this instance, the comment was made as the kicker touched the ball. If the referee is quick enough, then he could blow his whistle before the kicker touches the ball. But in real life, this would be very difficult to achieve and may serve to put the kicker off when retaking the free kick, thus giving the advantage to the infringing team. The possible restarts in this situation are as follows. A. Award an indirect free kick for unsporting behavior to the attacking team at the spot where the wall and the offending comment was made. B. Goal kick to the defending team. C. Retake the free kick. Let's take each possibility at a time. A. Award an indirect free kick for unsporting behavior to the attacking team at the spot where the wall and the offending comment was made. As the comment was made before the free kick took place, and whilst the ball was out of play, you cannot award another free kick in a different position. In short, you cannot award free kicks for incidents happening when the ball is out of play, i.e., before the original kick took place. B. Goal kick to the defending team. Because you did not blow your whistle to stop play before the kicker completed the free kick, then a goal kick is a possible option. But it gives the offending team the advantage of this is definitely against the spirit of the game. C. Retake the free kick. Taking all things into consideration, a retake may be a better option. The fact that the guilty defender committed an unsporting act before the free kick took place with the sole aim of distracting the player taking the free kick should lead to the attacking team being allowed to retake the free kick properly. Law 5, Referee's Power and Duties, states that the referee can stop, suspend, or terminate the match at his discretion for any infringements of the laws. This is a part of the laws that you can use to allow the free kick to be retaken. Taking all things into account and the complexity of the incident, I would probably have taken the same action as you and awarded a goal kick restart, but to ensure fair play and using the laws correctly, the free kick should have been retaken because the incident happened before the kick took place. But to be honest, players would not have a clue about what should be the correct decision, so whatever you do would be correct. If you gave a dropped ball, they would be none the wiser, and neither would most referees. This was a very difficult decision for you to make in an instant, and you did okay. Sometimes, you have to rely on instinct, and mostly it works, as it did in your case. Many thanks, colleague, for this very interesting and complex question. I just hope that it never happens to me. Well done, if you have made it this far to the end of the Law 12 Direct Free Kicks page.